Forgers and Artists, True Stories. Narrated by Paul Spera. Joyce Hatto, the forger of classical music. Joyce Hatto was born on September 5, 1928 in St. John's Wood, London. As a pianist, she performed on various stages, but was expelled from the Royal Academy of London. She wandered from small concerts in England to recitals. She taught for a few years at Crofton Grange, a boarding school for girls in Hertfordshire, north of London. The critics attending her performances judged her mediocre. They even expressed doubts about her ability to play Mozart or Rachmaninoff. And yet she recorded Rachmaninoff's second concerto in the 1950s in Hamburg, under the direction of George Hurst for the Saga label. It was there that she met William Barrington Coop, a producer in the recording industry. He would become her husband in 1956. Joyce's career struggled to take off, while William, with Saga Records, which went bankrupt in 1961, was recording and producing pianists with undisputed talent. Among these artists, we find in 1959 the Italian Sergio Fiorentino in Beethoven's fifth piano concerto, known as the Emperor Concerto. New record company, new fifth concerto, new artist? No. The eminent Ernst Lumpe will prove that Barrington Coop used Fiorentino's recording to pass it off as an original by another pianist, five times in a row. The producer, found guilty, was imprisoned for a year in 1966 for flagrant and impertinent fraud. Joyce Hatto recorded the Symphonic Variations for Piano and Orchestra by composer Arnold Baxt in 1970 at EMI's studios in Abbey Road, London. She plays under the direction of the conductor Vernon Handley, who recognizes in her a certain talent, but great difficulty in playing with an orchestra and a complicated character. In 1973, she performed Chopin's Bourrée at the Queen Elizabeth Hall in London. She continued with recitals of Liszt. Her fame remained modest, however. Joyce retired from the stage abruptly in 1976, announcing that she had ovarian cancer. Between 1976 and the end of the 80s, William Barrington Coop published, under his label Concert Artist Recordings, audio cassettes by Joyce Hatto. We will never know what they contained because the catalog was deleted. The couple lived in seclusion in their modern villa in Royston, Hertfordshire, until 1990. In 1991, the pianist Sergio Fiorentino decided to resume music through the Appian Recordings label. He released eight CDs between 93 and 98, the date of his death. All of them were crowned with great success, each title being judged a pure wonder by critics. Barrington Coop decides to capitalize on Fiorentino's comeback and reactivates his old concert artist label to reissue the Virtuoso's albums, recorded in his youth. The forgotten pianist is reborn like a phoenix before disappearing again. History inspires him. In 2002, William Barrington Coop sends out Fiorentino's records along with a new one of Joyce Hatto's. What do you think? What do you think? Is the question he keeps asking. By 2003, the classical music community recognizes Joyce as an incomparable talent. The web is abuzz with excitement. Classical music websites such as Gramophone, MusicWeb, and Classics Today praise her. The pace of Joyce's album releases from this point on is incredible, the repertoire unparalleled in its breadth. Her CDs include the complete sonatas of Ludwig van Beethoven, Mozart, and Sergei Prokofiev, most of the works of Chopin, concertos by Rachmaninoff, Tchaikovsky, Johannes Brahms, and Felix Mendelssohn, as well as rare works such as the complete Chopin Etudes by Leopold Godowsky. Richard Dyer, for the Boston Globe, on the occasion of the 119th CD release on August 21, 2005, writes that Joyce Hatto is surely the greatest living pianist no one has heard of. Now 76, she hasn't played in public in 25 years because of a battle with cancer. The radiologist who diagnosed her with full-blown ovarian cancer in 1992 admits that she had no previous history of the disease. So what happened to her between 1976 and 1992? All those who saw her play before 1976 and were able to judge her are now dead, so they cannot answer. Joyce died on June 29, 2006, in Cambridge. The British newspaper The Guardian announced the loss of the greatest pianist England has ever known. 8 months later, Brian Ventura, a classical music enthusiast, searches for ideas on the Classics Today website. He decides to listen to Franz Liszt's 12 Études d'exécution transcendante. Wanting to download the piece to his iPod from iTunes, he looks at the different performers available and comes across Joyce Hatto. He listens to the tracks one by one and realizes while listening to the third piece that the device has replaced Joyce Hatto with Laszlo Simon, a little-known Hungarian pianist. The next 9 pieces are attributed to Simon as well. Ventura thinks at first that this must be a technical error. He deletes the file and downloads it again, but the same thing happens. A collector of rare records, Ventura happens to have a Laszlo Simon vinyl, and he puts it on. The two recordings are strictly identical, up to the studio noises, even though they are 15 years apart. For him, it is clear, Hatto copied Simon. He informs Jed Distler, a journalist, at the gramophone. Distler does not really believe this story, which seems to him frankly far-fetched. In classical music, it's unheard of for an artist to claim another's recording as their own. Dubious, Distler nevertheless takes the trouble to check. And what he discovers is clearly a scoop. He starts by telling his publisher, James Invern, who offers him the means to go and prove the whole thing in the studio. He goes to the sound library of the newspaper and exhumes all the recordings of the studies made by Joyce Hatto. Andrew Rose, a former BBC sound engineer retired to the Dordogne in southwest France, compares the recordings with those of Simon. He finds a digital manipulation that slowed down or sped up each piece by an average of 15% so as to make it undetectable by the databases. All of Joyce's recordings go through this process. Joyce Hatto's third album was found to be entirely pirated from 1993 tracks by pianist Minoru Ojima. The accusations are too serious to take any chances. The samples are sent for confirmation to the Research Center for the History and Analysis of Recorded Music, an independent university laboratory. The sample's return is not long in coming, and more manipulations are discovered. The Chopin mazurkas, for example, are original interpretations by French-American pianist Eugène Injic. On February 13, 2007, when enough proof has been gathered, Jed Distler drops a bomb onto the musical world. The case is picked up on by local newspapers first and then by the whole world. Praised for 5 years, Joyce is now mocked and called a disgrace to the history of classical music and record publishing. A new game is breaking out on the internet. Find out from whom Joyce stole the recording for this or that piece. The Montreal newspaper Le Devoir publishes a first list. Roger Moraro for the complete Ravel, Vladimir Ashkenazi for Brahms' second concerto, Yefim Bronfman for Rachmaninoff's second and third, Jean-Philippe Collard for Saint-Saëns' second, Yenou Yando, Idil Beret, François-René Duchable, Jean-François Heisse, Marc-André Hamelin, Beatrice Long, and so many others. Did Joyce ever sit behind a piano for even a single one of these recordings? William Barrington Coop, widower for less than a year and then 76 years old, refuses to comment. He denies in block. For a few days, at least. Then, faced with the evidence, he ends up writing a letter to Jed Distler, the journalist who broke the story, and relieves his conscience. "I am the only one responsible," William says. "Joyce had nothing to do with it. She didn't know anything about it." He affirms that he didn't do it for the money. As proof, he points out that fewer than 1,000 copies of each record were ever printed. Instead, William says, he acted out of love. It all started when, in 1983, the compact disc appeared and relegated the much less practical audio cassettes to the attic. When William wanted to transfer Joyce's recordings to CD, he quickly realized that it was impossible. Joyce's music was gradually withdrawn from the market and critics forgot about her. William wanted to give his wife, for her last days, all the glory that had been unjustly denied her until now. William Barrington Coop always refused to identify which recordings were pirated. He destroyed all of his work. Over the course of the investigation, it would become clear that a total of 91 pianists were robbed in order to produce Hatto's 119 CDs. The Symphonic Variations is one of the only recordings that can actually be attributed to Joyce Hatto. Money was not the motive, Barrington Coop says. Well, 1,000 copies, multiplied by 119 albums selling at £13 each, that's still over £1.5 million in 4 years. All the same. Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.